a pathway to a possible deal. With 20 days to go before Britain is set to leave the EU, that was the assessment of both the Taoiseach and the British Prime Minister after spending several hours together in the northwest of England. The European Union's chief Brexit negotiator Michel Barnier and the British Brexit Secretary Stephen Barclay are meeting in Brussels this morning to assess if there's a basis to start negotiations. The primary difficulty remains the border left behind on this island after Brexit. Speaking on the BBC's The View last night, Britain's Northern Secretary Julian Smith said that both leaders appeared to find common ground in the talks yesterday.
My relationship with the Irish government has been really positive since I've become Secretary of State, and I was just delighted to see the positivity that came out of the Cheshire meeting. In terms of the details, as you know, we've got a number of key areas, the issue of consent, the issue of customs, and a number of other areas that are being looked at. I'm not going to go into the detail of that now, but I think that the mood music and the developments for today are really, really positive developments.
Julian Smith went on to say that no one community in the north will have a veto over any proposed deal.
I'm not going to go into detail on the negotiation, but what I can tell you it doesn't mean is a veto for one community over any element of this.
So some kind of Northern Ireland-only referendum would be a way of dealing with
there
that, wouldn't it?
There are a whole range of options.
Well, that's the main thing
is that we have to have regard to the Good Friday Agreement and have regard for the need to have a cross-community approach to how we resolve this.
And that's how you would resolve it. So we are looking at a Northern Ireland-only referendum, are we?
No, I didn't say that. I said that there will not be a situation where one community has a veto over this.
That was Mark Carruthers speaking with Julian Smith, Britain's Northern Secretary, on the BBC's The View last night. Let's speak to our Northern editor, Tommy Gorman. Morning, Tommy.
Morning, Gavin.
Has something changed?
Oh, big time. I wrote a piece for our website last night where I suggested that Leo Varadkar had entered a casino. He got off the fence yesterday. He moved to centre stage. He took an initiative. It was very, very deliberate. Let's just chart what exactly went on. He brought across to Liverpool his trusted team, the likes of Martin Fraser, Sec General to the government, Brian Murphy, John Callanan, Helen Blake. And Boris Johnson did the very same. He had a cabinet secretary who was in Dundalk 2 weeks ago, Mark Sedwell, Sir Mark Sedwell, who was given a tour of the border at the time by Peter Sheridan from Cooperation Ireland. There too he had John Bew, son of Paul Bew, Lord Bew, born in Cork, former advisor to David Trimble. John Bew is a very able historian and he's a key member of the Boris Johnson team. There as well in the background, Dominic Cummings, another person there, Chief of Staff Sir Ed Lister. They spoke for 3 hours. Most of the discussions were a one-on-one, Boris Johnson and Leo Varadkar. Now, OK, we all know the Amber Rudd story. You go to a party with Boris Johnson, but would you go home with him? There are risks in getting involved in one-on-one negotiations with Boris Johnson. But Leo Varadkar knew exactly what he was doing. And not just did he allow himself to be photographed, not just did he sign up to a joint statement where he talked about a possible pathway to a deal. He then went into a news conference, quite deliberately, and Leo Varadkar, he doesn't do things instinctively. You know, he thinks about things very, very hard to read, completely different to a lot of former Taoiseach. But in that news conference, he actually talked about dates. He talked about getting a deal in place by the 31st of October. Those were not the actions of a man who had not thought out his position. So he has made that commitment. And the first few things to watch to see how things are running. Look at what happened to the pound overnight. It strengthened, amazingly. The next big test, because it's all very well for the Irish and the British, for Leo Varadkar to get off the fence, for them to take an initiative because of Ireland being so caught up in the whole Brexit drama. But the next big test is this morning. Stephen Barclay, rough around the edges, you know, not very experienced. But Michel Barnier, who has seen characters come and go, who's almost fed up with the British posturing at times. So Barnier will be, I suppose, a very, very tough test this morning. But if you see a decision from those two men this morning that they will move to the next stage of going into the tunnel and maintain the confidentiality, then there is something very, very different happening. This is significant, Gavin.
Leo Varadkar gave a news conference yesterday which was striking in its positivity. As George Parker was telling us from London earlier, there's been very little reaction from London. What about reaction in Belfast? Have the DUP said anything?
Yeah, let's take those George Parker comments. It's significant that they've managed to keep the lid on this in London. Like, given that Dominic Cummings was there in Liverpool yesterday and there hasn't been that much spinning going on, that suggests a step change. And you're 100% on the money when you say, what's the reaction in Belfast? Look who the key person they put out last night was, and look at the comments he made. Julian Smith. This is a different kind of Secretary of State for Northern Ireland. He's been really, really impressive. He's put himself out there. He has a very good relationship already with Simon Coveney. So what did he say last night? First of all, he said that in terms of consent, it couldn't just be one community having a veto. He talked about the need for cross-community support. And that chimes directly with the word Arlene Foster used in recent times, collegiality. But here's where it gets really, really interesting. If this is to work, and it's still an outside chance of it working, Stormont is going to be essential. And that's a working Stormont, not the Stormont that has been closed, because the two main players north of the border at the moment, Sinn Féin and the DUP, are on gardening leave, very long gardening leave. So if there is to be pain in this for the DUP, there has to be gain as well. Arlene Foster is a devolutionist. You have to get Stormont back up and running for it to have an ongoing meaningful role. And significantly too, a person who becomes key in southern politics is Mary Lou MacDonald, because Sinn Féin will continue with its abstentionist policy in Westminster, but Sinn Féin will get back into Stormont, back into power sharing if this works. So that's where Mary Lou MacDonald becomes part of this jigsaw. It's fascinating, Gavin.
Julian Smith, when asked, as we heard there by Mark Carruthers, he didn't rule out a Northern Ireland referendum or deny that it was on the table.
Yeah, and remember, say, how Leo Varadkar dealt with that question in recent times. And I heard Eamon Ryan of the Green Party referring to that kind of a concept yesterday. There's a bit of a danger attached to that, Gavin, that if you did have a referendum at the moment in Northern Ireland, might some see it as a border poll? Might it just raise tensions? If it was being conducted in an atmosphere where people were getting back into power sharing again and they were willing to move into a new space of live and let live, which is ultimately going to be the solution to this, then say a referendum would be fine. But if it was going to be a divisive referendum, orange versus green, how big is your tribe, how big is our tribe, well then it would be fraught with danger. So it would depend on the circumstances in which a referendum would be held. And I think that was the significance of, I suppose, the reluctance of Julian Smith last night to actually commit himself to the concept of a referendum, full stop.
Tommy, thank you. That's our Northern editor, Tommy Gorman. It's 21 minutes past 8.